And I found this really cool article as I was putting this together this week. It was this guy, he wrote it about a month ago, but he just was talking about his bout with loneliness and depression and kind of what happened for him. So I'm just going to read it to you. It's a little bit long, but you can stick with me. It says, over the winter, I moved from New York City to Portland, Oregon. The reasons for my move were purely logical. New York was expensive and stressful. Portland, I reasoned, would offer me the space and time to do my work. Upon arriving, I rented a house and happily went out in search of my people. I went to parks, bookstores, bars, on dates. I even tried golfing. It wasn't that I didn't meet people. I did. I just felt no connection to any of them. Once social and upbeat, I became morose and mildly paranoid. I knew I needed to connect to people to feel better, but I felt as though I physically could not handle any more empty interactions. I woke up in the night panicked. In the afternoon, loneliness came in waves like a fever. I had no idea how to fix it. Feeling uncertain, I began to research loneliness and came across several alarming recent studies. Loneliness is not just making us sick, it is killing us. Loneliness is a serious health risk. Studies of elderly people and social isolation concluded that those without adequate social interaction were twice as likely to die prematurely. Loneliness is breaking our hearts, but as a culture, we rarely talk about it. And I think all of us have been in a time where we have felt these things that this guy is feeling. I mean, he actually goes on to say later in the article that he ended up moving back to New York because he was longing so much for friendship that he was like, I can't stay here in Portland. Like, I'm not meeting anybody. So he moved back to where he knew people because he felt alone. And we have all felt that way. And I know that in a room this size, there are probably people in here that right now you currently feel like you're lonely. You don't have friends that care about you. And the crazy thing is that you can be in a room full of people like this today, and you can still feel totally left out and completely alone. And I know that's the reality for some of you. Maybe you're brand new around here, and you're feeling that. You're like, oh, I'm the one that doesn't know the songs. I'm the one that doesn't know anybody. And so you're feeling all this pressure and these emotions. And it's because God designed you and I to find fulfillment when we are in community with one another. When people really know who we are, it's not just a bunch of surface relationships where maybe you just know each other's name and say hi and that's kind of it, but when people really know the deepest parts of who you are. We've been created to long for that and to need it in order to be happy. Like I did a challenge day at Emerald Ridge this week, and one of the people leading it was talking about how even like babies, when they're born, they need to have physical touch. Like they need to have a person holding them for them to be as healthy as possible. And it's like we are born out of the womb needing to have people around us, loving us, being in true friendship. And I love this scripture. It's not coming on the screen, but I just was thinking about this week. It's from one of the Psalms. And in it, it says, God sets the lonely in families. And so I just want to talk about that today. Like what is this family that God says, I've provided a place for you where you will not feel alone, where you can experience true community, true acceptance. You can experience forgiveness and love and all these things that you're searching so much for, but you're looking in all the wrong places. Because I believe that he has created the church, this place where we meet and we come together, to be that place. And so we're just going to talk about that and talk about some of the reasons we feel lonely. So if you want to grab your outline, you can follow along with me today. I want to start by saying, by talking about the different levels of friendship we have. And I think it's really important to understand this so that way you know where different people in your life fall in these categories. So if you want to write this one down, it's the first one is acquaintances. If you don't know how to spell, it'll be up there. I had trouble spelling it too, so it's no big deal. But acquaintances, that's the first one. Now, this is like the majority of your Facebook friends or your Instagram followers, your Twitter followers, because you don't have like a deep relationship with most of those people, right? There's maybe like 5 to 10 that you would say, oh yeah, these are like my best friends. So most of the people that are following you or that your Facebook friends, they're just acquaintances. Maybe you met them one time, maybe you have a class with them, and so you like have seen each other, and so one of you added the other one on Facebook, but you don't really talk, and it's not like there's a real friendship there. So that's the first one. If you just want to write down a couple people that fit into this category for you, I think that would be good for you to do. It can also be just like the barista that you see at Bigfoot Java every single week when you go in there or whatever. But people that you maybe know their name, but you don't know anything about them. These are acquaintances. Second one is groups. I think there are some of you in here, and some of you don't have this, and that's okay, but some of you have a group of friends that you hang out with, like, on the weekends. So it's like you have this big group of 10 to 15 people where in that group you maybe have some of your really good friends, but there are other people that you maybe have talked to, but you don't really know a lot about them. You're totally comfortable being in the same room and like feeling like, okay, I feel safe with this person. I feel comfortable. But it's not necessarily that you have a real relationship with that person. And so it's just not that deep. So write down some of those people that fall into that category, like in between the acquaintances and like the BFFs. Third one is wise counsel. This was a pretty easy one to figure out. It's like a coach, somebody older than you that you get wisdom and advice from. So it'd be like a coach, a teacher that you respect and trust. It could be one of the youth leaders in here, because I know that's what a lot of you really, really love about our youth leaders, is that they're awesome. It could be one of your parents. I mean, I don't know who it is, but who is that for you? Go ahead and write that one down. And then the last one is complete trust. In teenage world, this is like your BFFs. It was actually funny because Jordan and I, we were in the office on Wednesday, and have you guys heard of MySpace? Okay, yeah, you've at least heard of it. I'm not that old. That's good to know. So we're on MySpace, and I don't know how we got to the place where we were like browsing profiles and stuff. We work pretty hard, as you can see. But Jordan is on his profile, and so he starts to click around on his top 8 friends, because that's how MySpace worked back in the day. And so he's clicking on, and he was like so excited because the first two he clicked on, when he went to their profile, the number one friend was him. And he was like, dude, yeah, that's what's up. I'm awesome. These people love me. I was like, dude, that was like 10 years ago. So these people probably hate you now. So you don't get too excited about this. But these are like your top friends. And these are the people that you have all of the funny stories with. You have like the inside jokes with. For instance, I live in a house with Lindsay and with Kevin, Kyle, and Jordan. I remembered all their names this time. Yes. Usually I miss one of them. So we did a road trip down to California like a month ago. And on the way back, we left at like, was it like 4 or 5, Kevin, in the afternoon? So it's like a 13-hour drive, and so we're driving through the middle of the night. And I was so determined, like, we are going to stop on the way back home because I do not want to die on the road because somebody falls asleep. And so it's like 1 in the morning maybe, and we get to some city in Oregon where it's like there's 6 cows and maybe one person that live there. And so we're trying to find a hotel, and it's like super late, and the only hotels we could find were like the sketchiest places ever. So one of them, we drove by, and I was like, dude, yeah, let's stay there. And they're like, we are not staying there. They don't even have lights on at that place. We are not going there. And it was called the Shady Oaks. You know, so like, Gary, we're not going to go to the Shady Oaks. So then we keep driving along, and we go to this other hotel, and I'm like trying to bargain with the lady because it's 1 a.m. I'm like, dude, I got this. I could like offer her like $50, and she'll say, you can have a room. I did, and she just kept saying, no. No, and I kept trying to like, pull cards. Like, I work for a church. You want to give me a discount now? She's like, no. I was like, all right. Well, we'll pay whatever price you give me then. So, but these are the people that you have those like crazy stories with, and I'm sure you can think of who they are and think of some of the things you've done. And you're like, it's only funny to us because everybody else would just think we're weird or they whatever. They weren't there with us. But these are those kinds of people, or they're the ones that you'll like tell anything to. All your secrets, like when you break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend, this is the first person you call when you're like crying hysterically and you do that thing where you can't really like, you can't talk because you're crying so hard. Like how many of you guys have done that before? Mostly girls, that's cool. That's okay. It's okay, I feel confident. Somebody's doing it right now, so that's all right. But like you're talking like, and your friends are sitting there like, what? Is wrong with you? Are you going to puke? Like, come on, bro. Calm down. Like, this happened to me when I was in college, when I was at SPU. I was dating this girl, and I was in love, man. I was like, this is it. We were dating for 2 months. This relationship was deep. I don't even remember what her last name is at this point. But after, like, 2 months, she was deciding that she was going to go study abroad. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, we can work out this long distance. And study abroad, I mean, she was going to Europe to study abroad. And I was like, yeah, we can totally make this work. So, like, maybe the week before she left, she decided to break up with me, and I was like, oh, you can't do that. So it wasn't really a relationship. It was more just codependency and just completely sad. I was an idiot. But I go back to my apartment I was living in, and I'm, like, bawling my eyes out, and my 3 roommates are there. And so I sit on the ground in our office, and all of them come in. And they're sitting on the ground. I'm, like, trying to explain it. I'm like, this is the girl. I'm there. And they're just like, what? you know? But these are the people that you have those experiences with, and I hope that there's somebody else in this room that has, and not only girls, because that would be sad. But write down a couple people that fit into that category for you as you think about who your friends are. And so we're going to come back to this a little bit later, but I want to talk about this question of why do we feel lonely? Like, what is the root of our loneliness? And we've all felt it before. We know it's not a good thing. We know we need to have real interaction and real friendship with people. And so what do we got to do in order to fix that? And so I think here's some of the reasons we feel that. The first one is this. It's you're not a good friend. You are not. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, hey, you're not a good friend. Some of you are getting really defensive, like, oh, yeah, I am a good friend. You don't know anything about me, Gary. This is my second week here. Thank you. Okay, that's good. You don't need to tell them more things you don't like about them. You can calm down, like, pay attention here. So you're not a good friend. How many of you guys think that you're a good friend? Raise your hand. So you're like, I can't answer this because then it's prideful and Gary's going to tell me that I'm not a good friend. Okay, so, yeah, Marley, that's what's up. Wow, this really got you guys talking. Some issues to deal with here. But really, I think some of you probably wrote down this feeling, but you're like, no, dude, I'm a good friend. I'm there for the people around me. Like, I got some BFF. They rely on me. They trust me. I'm there for them. But here's how you know that you are not a good friend. How many of you have ditched your friends once you started to date a boy or a girl? Just fess up, dude. Oh, he pointed at him. Ouch. Do you want to come up and reconcile today, or no? Do you guys need a moment? You can have the moment after I'm done talking. Okay, cool. Okay, so most of us have done this before, or maybe it's happened to you, and you're like, oh, it made me so mad when that happened. I can't believe my friend ditched me. But I did this with my first serious girlfriend, where it was, once again, I was just like totally infatuated with this girl, and then she ended up cheating on me, which is really sad. But we were dating for like a year and a half, and then once we broke up, it was kind of like I didn't have any friends anymore because I had completely ditched them and spent every single weekend with this girl. And so so my friends stopped calling me, stopped inviting me to things because they knew I was just going to say no all the time. And so, like, I've done this before. You guys have done this before. And I think it just shows that we're not as good of a friend as we really think we are. Like, we might really feel like, yeah, I kind of got this area of my life together. But we really don't, because I think there are certain things that will pull you away from people, pull you away from your best friends, and you don't even know that it's happened to you. And can you also think of a person that, and don't point at the person in this room, okay, because that's going to get awkward, okay? Can you think of a person that you would say that they're a good friend, but it's really tiring to hang out with them? Like, it kind of drains you. You're just like, oh, gosh. Like, I really love you and all, but like, every time we hang out, I feel like all I do is just sit and listen to all of your problems, and it's so, so tiring, okay? So you can maybe think, like I said, don't point at anybody because we don't want that to happen. But you can think about who that person might be. But here's the deal. You all do that to somebody else also, okay? Like, I do that. There are certain people in my life that I go to, but I only go to them to get something from them, not to really give them friendship or like make it a reciprocal friendship. Like, I don't do that. And we all do that to somebody. We treat people like they're like a buffet. We show up and we're just like, all right, you're the one that's always there for me. So it's like you walk up and you're just like, eating up all this person's energy. And you're just like, come on, give me more. You're supposed to take care of me. You're supposed to take care of me. Like, why are you feeling tired? Why do you want to go home? And so you're, like, frustrated with this person, but it's so, so ridiculous that you're just consuming them. And so here's the truth. We love to consume friendship, but we don't like to give it back to people. That's the truth, right? We love when it makes us feel better, but then when somebody else wants something and wants to have, like, a real friendship where it's a two-way thing, we don't really want to give back. Because we like when it's about us. And so I want to read you guys a few scriptures that I think point this out to us and tell us you're not as good of a friend as you think you are. So here's the first one. It's in Ephesians 4. It says, always be humble and gentle. Underline always. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. And maybe as I'm reading these, you can just underline all the character traits of what true friendship is actually like. Things like, you know, patient, making allowance, love, humble, gentle. Whoa. That was awesome. Okay, let's read the second one. Colossians 3, it says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Anyone, underline that one. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. See, after I read these, if you still think that you rock at friendship, then you're totally full of yourself. Because there's none of us do all of these things perfectly. That's why I had you underline always. Because it's not just like, sometimes be humble. It's like all the time we're supposed to be like this with people in our lives. But we don't do it. Because what's normal in our culture today is abandonment. It's, oh, this person hurt me, so screw them. I'm done with that friend. I'm not going to forgive them. Why would I forgive them when they did something like this to me? That's what's normal. And if you think about it, this is the way that we talk nowadays. We will say things like, oh gosh, man, this friend, I thought they were like really, really cool and I could totally trust them. And then they totally backstabbed me. So whatever, like, I hate that person now. And so we throw out phrases like this all the time thinking that it's not a big deal when scripture is telling us that we are not really a good friend like we think we are. And so my point here is that if you want to have good friends, you have to first be a good friend. It can't be that you consume and you expect all these things from other people when you're not the one that's going to take the step first and be like, okay, well, scripture, if I'm a Christian, tells me that I should have mercy and I should be kind, I should be humble and gentle and patient, I should forgive people, I should clothe myself with love, I should be doing all these things. Like, if I'm not willing to start and be the one that is first in that, then I can't expect anybody else to do that back. And so I think that's something that we have to just recognize. Like, we're not as good of a friend as we think we are. And maybe as you are seeing some of these characteristics, you can think of a specific person that you're like, yep, I know exactly who I need to be patient with. I want to tell you this kind of side story. I just thought of this. Taylor, where's Taylor? Are you over here, Taylor? Dill? Taylor Dill. Yeah, Taylor. So I coach tennis at Cascade Christian. And at our practices, we've been having this 8th grade boy that's been showing up to our practices, and he's a little crazy, okay? He's so funny, though. He just sits on the side of the court, and he'll, like, throw rocks as we're practicing, trying to play tennis. And you're like, bro, like, hey, maybe we shouldn't do that today. And he just is like, okay. And he just gets more. He just keeps throwing him out there. So I've tried to, like, kind of get in his face and be a little bit mean, like, hey, dude, you need to get out of here. You need to go home because you're disrupting the practice that I have. Like, and I hope. Can you just respect us while you're here or whatever? And so for the whole first week of practice, it was the same thing every week or same every day. We're just like, okay, what's he going to do next? Like, is he going to run on the courts and do some crazy stuff? He's done some crazy stuff that I can't even tell you what it is because it would be completely inappropriate for me to tell you about it. And so I remember one night, this was maybe last week, I went home and I was talking to Lindsay about it and I was so frustrated. I was so angry. And then I think the Holy Spirit just convicted me because I just, like, start crying because I'm thinking about this kid. And he's, like, I think he's mentally disabled also. And I was thinking about, like, I have so much anger and hatred towards this 8th grade boy. And I think all he really needs is the fact that he doesn't have any friends. Like, he's totally lonely. Like, he leaves school and he comes to a public park to throw rocks on a tennis court. Like, this kid obviously doesn't have anybody that's there for him. And so I just felt so convicted. And I was telling Lindsay, I was just, like, I want to feel what he feels because if I can't do that, then I'm not living out what I'm telling you guys to do. And it was just like so, I was like, man, that sucks that I'm like a pastor, I'm a Christian, I think I have my stuff together. But when one person comes along and bugs me, I'm just like, I hate that person. And I'm just like, dude, I have to wrestle with that. I think that's what all of us have to do because we think it's okay and it's normal just to be like, to write people off like that. But I think the Bible teaches something so different in that relationships are supposed to be just have a completely different picture. And so it was so cool because it was last Friday. I decided, I was like, okay, we're going to have a new game plan with this kid. And I started talking to a couple of the guys on the team. And I was like, we're going to just invite him to come out here and, like, play with us. Maybe he'll be the ball boy that runs around and just give him a job and we'll see what happens. And so I told him that. He's like, okay, cool. So he came back on Monday. And so then he started to actually do it, and he was just kind of, he was like crawling on the court by the nets and grabbing balls, sticking them in his pockets, and all this crazy stuff. And I was like, that is so cool. And it was even cooler to see our entire tennis team, instead of being super mad at him, they were all just like, that's so awesome, this kid is rad. And they named, what's his name again? What do we call him? Garcon is what we've named him. His name's Jacob, but we've been calling him Garcon. And then it ended that practice with him. We gave him a tennis racket, and we were like, hey, do you want to play one of these games with us? And so we gave it to him, and he was terrible at tennis, and I told him that. It was no problem. But he was so excited to be running around the court, like swinging at the ball, never hitting it or hitting it way over the fence, but it was like this complete transformation, and all this person needed was for somebody to invite them in. And I'm just like, man, I wish I could do that more. I wish I could have that kind of compassion for people and really just try and feel what people feel. And so maybe that's what I'll tell you guys. The next time that you're feeling some anger or hatred or unforgiveness towards someone, I would just tell you, try and feel what that person feels. Try and put yourself in their shoes, because you have no idea what's going on in their lives and what's causing them to act the way that they do. It's a completely side story, but here, let's just move on to the next villain. It's... you try to belong everywhere. I'm not going to talk about this a bunch because I think Kyle's going to hit on it a little bit next week when he wraps up the series, but I think one of the biggest causes of our loneliness is that we want to be a part of everything. And so we do stuff at church, we join like all the different sports teams, we have school activities, maybe you have a job that you do, then your parents want to have relationship and friendship with you, and then your friends want to hang out, but ultimately all the stuff in your life gets in the way of the people in your life, and so you're too busy to have real friends. And I love that the Bible calls this out. It says in Proverbs 18, it says, someone with many so-called friends may end up friendless, but a true friend is closer than a brother. Dude, that is so true. I think so many of us, we have a bunch of people that are surface relationships, but we don't have anybody that's like a true brother that we can trust and that trusts us. And so I guess I'll just say this to you. Some of you are trying so hard to belong everywhere that you really don't belong anywhere. You're trying to fill your identity and who you are with all this stuff, that you don't have any time for real relationship. And it's like you try to be loyal to everything, but the truth is you're not loyal to anything. And so that's something for you to think about. Like, is your life so busy that there's no room to have real friendship with people? Because if that's the case, then I think you should start cutting stuff out of your life, because you were made to find satisfaction in community with people, when people know you and you know them. And so you are going to need that. Last thing is this, it's you've been hurt. This week, like I said, I did that challenge day thing, and it was awesome. How many of you guys have actually done this before? Wow, okay, that's a pretty good amount. That's awesome. So just to give you a big picture of what it is, it's like they're trying to get people that don't normally talk to interact with each other and just be real about who they are. So that's kind of the big picture of what was going on. So I went just as a volunteer. Jordan went, and Maverick came and helped out as well. And man, it was such a cool experience. And it was really funny because they start with like having to do some goofy things. So Maddie, do you want to come up here really quick? No? Okay, hold on. Andrew, come here. Oh, this will be even better with you. Come here. So they make you do these really awkward things to kind of like get the ball rolling and get you to just loosen up, because everybody walks in the room and they're like, what's going on today? I don't know what this is. And so they make you do this back butt dance thing. So it's back to me. And then put your arm here. And they're like, all right, 10 seconds, dance now. And you're just like, woo! And it's so awkward because his butt is on my back because I'm so much shorter than him. But like they make you do, thanks for doing that. He's a good dancer. So they start with like some fun things like that. And then ultimately it gets to a place where you have these groups where you have maybe three or four other people in your group, and they tell you to finish this phrase. They say, if you really knew me, then you would know, dot, dot, dot. And so it was crazy. Like, in my group alone, I'll just tell you what some of these stories were. I'm not going to tell you who they were, because that's not right. But one of them said that she had slept in a park in the rain recently because her parents were fighting and told her that she needed to leave the house so they could finish their fight. So she spent the night in a rainy park. And then another one fights so much with her mom that she lives with her aunt. And then another one, she was like the happiest person ever. So you're thinking like, she's got it kind of together or whatever. And then she comes out and she just says, my mom's been diagnosed with cancer. And so she's actually dying of cancer right now. And I'm just like, geez, this is crazy, like the stuff that's going on. And so I realized that all of you guys have something like that in your life too, and I hope that you have somebody that you can talk to about that, because that stuff's way too heavy to carry on your own, man. That's just like ridiculous to have that kind of weight on your shoulders and that kind of pressure. But we have all this hurt, but I think to the next level, we've been hurt by other people, and so we don't want to trust anybody else. We're like, gosh, the last time I really opened up to somebody, that person backstabbed me. They're not even my friend anymore, so I don't want to put myself out there anymore. Like, forget that. The last thing I want to do is put myself in a position where somebody else is going to leave me and just break my heart. And so then what you do is you kind of close off. You're like, I'm just going to kind of do my thing. And ultimately, that leads to a place of isolation and depression, and then leads to something like suicide. So these are kind of the steps that happen for people. And so and I'll tell you, like, for me, one of the most profound things somebody ever said to me that I'll never forget, it was my youth pastor, and he was the kind of guy that could, like, speak, and it's you literally think Jesus is speaking right now because he's so wise and intuitive. So we're just sitting and talking about who knows what, and all of a sudden he's like, Gary, can I tell you something about yourself? And I'm like, tell me something good about me. This would be awesome. And so he goes on, he's like, Gary, you don't trust people. I'm like, oh, that's not what I wanted to hear. And he's like, in order for you to grow as a person, you're going to need to learn to trust people even though you've been hurt by others. It's like, and it was just like, mind blown, like, whoa, that's so true. That's completely accurate about who I am and the way I operate. And I like, and to this day, I still wrestle with it. Like, Lindsay can tell you that I don't naturally just share about my life with people. And even with somebody that I've been married to for 4 years, it's hard for me to just say, hey, here's how my day was, or here's what's going on, here's what I've been thinking about, here's what's hard for me. And she'll have to ask me questions, and it's frustrating for her because she wants me to feel safe. But it's something I still wrestle with, and I think it's a root of I never saw a healthy relationship growing up. So, like, my parents got divorced at age of 3. Mom got remarried to stepdad, didn't have a relationship with stepdad. My dad moved away when I was 15 up to Idaho. I lived in California. So I just never really had, like, trusting relationship in my life, and it still impacts me today. But I'll never forget what he said, because he's just like, you're going to have to do something about that. And so that's kind of my challenge to you. If you're somebody that you're here and you're like, I've been hurt so much by people, I don't want to trust anybody with the real me because I don't know how they're going to react. And it's like my real life, it's ugly. And if anything, it's going to drive people away. I would just say, I hope that this place is a place where you can find that people aren't going to ditch you and abandon you, that you can have true friendship. And I want to show you guys a video story of somebody that's kind of experienced that. So go ahead and watch this video.
My name is Rachel Kylo, and I go to Sumner High School, and I'm a senior there. And I've been going to High Point for around 7 months. Started back in January and went to Summit, and after Summit, that was when I first really committed to start going to High Point. Being in ASB has really taught me to love my school and the people in it, and the leadership program we have. It's just so amazing to go to my school and just be supported in that way and to become a better leader in that way. And I also love to play soccer. That's been my main sport for 15, 16 years, and I haven't stopped since it started, and I don't think I'll ever stop. It's just something I'm really passionate about. I started out first at one church, and while I was there for the first few years, it was amazing, and it fed me so much during my middle school years and through my elementary school years. But once I entered high school, it started getting really cliquey, and I didn't feel like I belonged anywhere, and a lot of my friends who were there just stopped talking to me and kind of turned everyone against me in a way. Which is nothing like what High Point has done for me, where everyone opens up and everyone loves you and they're not going to judge you. One of the biggest trials I've probably gone through in my life that I've been tested with was finding out that I had, that my brother was mentally disabled at a young age. And that really impacted my life because of how quickly everything went downhill and how quickly our family was torn apart because of it, and how my parents had sheltered me and my brothers from knowing that he was so violent and so mentally handicapped for around 4 years before we started figuring it out for ourselves. Because of my brother's mental disability, he was very abusive towards me and abused me for around 10 years. And through that, I developed an eating disorder and self-harm and just severe confidence issues that follow me to this day. From being a victim of abuse, I've really struggled with a lot of fear and major worthlessness, and just feeling like if I can't be safe at my own home, then where else can I be safe? The first friend I really made at High Point was probably Matt Haley, because he was the one that invited me originally. Just sat down one day at my lunch table and asked me to go to High Point, and I did the next Sunday. And also, Hannah Schatz has really been a big impact in my life, and she's really been one of those friends that is always there for you and is always laughing and always joking with you. And it's really just impacted me in all the right ways and shown me what true friendship can be like. So now that I'm at High Point, my brother has also been gone from our family for 2 years, and he's in a safer place for him and a safer place for my family. And from here, I guess I see myself sharing my story now, because now I understand that people need to hear it, and I need to hear myself say it so that even I can grow through it. And I just feel like now that it's out there and now that people know, I can get that support I need, and this eating disorder will stop. The self-harm has already stopped, and I think I can move on and become a better person and a better friend and a better daughter and a sister to my brothers, and just move on to greater things and know that my past doesn't hold me anymore.
Thanks for sharing, Rachel, wherever you are in this room. That was awesome. And Andrew, you did an awesome job putting that together. Let me read this verse, Galatians 6 to you. It says, "Help carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will follow Christ's teachings." I love that a part of her story is that she's had people here that have said, "I'm going to meet you where you're at. I'm not going to expect you to be perfect. I'm just going to walk alongside you." And I think, I just hope that every single one of you has somebody like that in your life, whether it's here or it's not. I just want that for everybody. Write down this as your last fill-in as we wrap it up here. It's groups are better than rows. Big surprise, we're going to have a group life plug. But this is why we do group life. It's all about relationship and helping you connect at a smaller level, because I think the problem is we walk in the doors of a church service like this, and we expect to have deep relationship by just being a part of the big thing. But, like, that's just never going to happen. It's way too big in here for anybody to have deep connection on a Sunday morning. And like, I was telling somebody this morning, actually, it's gotten to the point where there are some people, I don't even know your names, and you show up here, and you've been coming here for a couple months. And it's unrealistic to expect to have, like, all these deep relationships unless you're in a smaller environment. So that's why we're doing group life. And if you weren't here last week, what we talked about is we're doing some extra groups now, because traditionally what we've done is we've said, in order for you to connect in a smaller environment, you have to set aside Tuesday nights. And if you don't have Tuesday nights available, sorry, this doesn't work out for you. So for us, as we were talking about this, we were like, well, instead of saying, hey, you guys need to come to the church, we're saying, we're going to take the church to you. And so we're going to have a group on Monday night for guys. We're going to have the normal Tuesday groups going on, Wednesday night for girls. Saturday morning, there's going to be a group that meets at Bigfoot Java. So we're just trying to make it more available, because, like, the big picture is today, it's all about the fact that we're not meant to do life alone, and that we need each other, and we need to have significant relationship in order to grow spiritually. Because that's what I can promise you. I can't promise you that you're going to make your best buddy or something. You're going to show up to church, and one of you will have half of the heart necklace, and the other one will have the other half, and you'll put it together at church and be like, oh, we're BFFs, this is amazing, you know. I can't promise you're going to have something crazy like that, but I can promise that you will grow, because you're going to be with people that are going to challenge you. And so I can just tell you that, and I really hope that if Tuesdays haven't worked for you historically, that you would make some time to be a part of one of these other groups that are going on, because they are for you. And we can't force you to be in community and to grow, so you have to take a step and go, okay, I commit today to taking a step towards people, not expecting people to come to me, and I commit to growing spiritually this year. So I hope that that's something that you will take seriously, because it can really change your life. So we're going to wrap up today. Go ahead and grab your comm cards. You can pull those things out again. If you didn't fill that out, go ahead and fill that out for us. Like Taylor said, if you're new around here, if it's your first time and you fill that out, we'll make a donation in your honor to the Mentoring Project, organization that we're supporting around here. And if you have prayer requests, put those on the back. We have people that are praying for you all week, and maybe you want to get more involved, or you're interested in group life or something like that, so check a box for whatever it might be, and we'll follow up with you. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward. We're going to...